following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. We're going to have Dick Beechner, president of the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame, coming in to chat with us here. It's not too long until we have our ceremonies down in Lincoln. Of course, a big recap of the Husker weekend. It's nice. You know, this is kind of like week one, Jimmy Langan. It's nice to come in and there's really not a whole lot of concerns. Yes, as in every game, there's a couple of breakdowns that you're not going to want against better football teams. But Fresno State's not a good football team, and Nebraska went out, took care of business, had a lot of individuals, have big games, some new faces stepped up there. DeMorne Personnel is the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week for his effort, including the punt return for a touchdown. But if you didn't want to stay up for the whole game on Saturday night / Sunday morning, you didn't have to. This thing was over by halftime.
Yeah. Doug, just so you know, that last touchdown was real critical for me, just so you understand that. That was, when you're talking about how critical that was, excuse me, I needed that one pretty bad, so I'm glad we scored the last touchdown. I did not go to bed early.
Really?
Yes.
55-19?
You can buy things, Doug. Like, you can say, hey, remember how I told you about the game? Some places you can add things and even get a better thing, 5-1 odds, 6-1 odds, etc.
48-19. 30 points? I didn't know you could find a place to give 30.
It was basically I needed to get over 68.5. But go on.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy.
I'm in a lot better mood. I'll probably buy donuts later.
You don't have to do that today. Glad to have you along with us, folks. If you want to be a part of the program, 888-455-ESPN. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, as always, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And the Twitter address at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. Bo Pelini's press conference will be coming your way at the end of the program. But, Jeff, get it over with. I have not seen this. I have no idea, but I have not got a good feeling. NFL week two, though, Jimmy. You always come in on Monday of week three and go, huh? What? How? Lovie Smith, come on, man. Tampa can't be that bad, can they? Buffalo, excellent job. Some other 2-0s, 0-2 things out there. Of course, all the off-field incidents may have affected some of the games out there as well.
But like you said, you know, there's a lot of 1-1 teams out there, too.
Yeah. We got our results from Pigskin Pick'em. Let's take a look at those, see how we did. Are we 0-3? We got a winner? We got a winner.
I think it was you, Doug.
Oh, God. Well, I guess if you go 5-5 and you win, I don't know that you can run down the street with your shirt off and waving it above your head like Brandi Chastain, but I'll take it. And, Jason, sorry. Wow. Wow. So the ones that brought me home, North Carolina State, I went 5-5, and you two went 3-7. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Ex-producer Merritt still continues to roll us all. He was 7-3. Let's see. Who else did I have? Florida Atlantic. Jason took Tulsa. Man, missed on Minnesota. We all missed on Iowa. We all missed on Georgia. We all missed on Indiana. We talked about that. That Indiana thing was screwy. Georgia, that's just the SEC, I guess. You know what? They play it in Georgia. Georgia wins. That's a game that South Carolina wins.
There were so many games that went down to the last possession. Indiana and Bowling Green. Bowling Green scored with like 17 seconds to go. You know, so there was all kinds of 50-50 things out there. However, there was one that we gave people here on the show, Boston College over USC. That wasn't a 50-50 deal.
No.
And that was one we – Boston College, I actually went 3-2, gave a Friday night special that didn't hit. But I don't think UNLV covered, did they? I think UNLV got beat by 14 by Northern Illinois.
But here's the deal, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Just like teachers, just like students, just like a football team, you want to get better every week. And you got better this week. That's all. 3 wins this week. Week 1, 1 win. Week 2, 2 wins.
Now 3.
Week 3, 3 wins. If you've got to pick 20 games to get 4 wins next week, that's okay.
You know what? The thing of it was
3-3 this weekend.
You know, what was disappointing was Central Florida played Missouri, and Central Florida actually won the first half line, but which was critical. But Louisville, hey, we gave them Louisville. Virginia, plus 8.5 over Louisville, straight-out winner.
Yep.
We gave them Boston College over USC, straight-out winner. And then we on the show, I was pretty desperate and didn't say Nebraska was very good, but I did say Fresno State might be the worst team in the nation.
And took Nebraska. So those are the 3 winners, Virginia, Boston College, Nebraska. On the short end, Toledo. I guess we're going to have to get off Toledo. UNLV and Central Florida all came out on the short end of double-digit underdogs. So Jimmy's 3-3 this past week.
3-2. 3-2.
Overall.
I gave the Friday thing for fun. I said that. We can replay it. You can replay it.
3-2.
Yeah.
I just do whatever Jeff
said. I just
did
a Friday night thing. Said, here, if you need a Friday night game, here it is. But that wasn't one of my selections.
Well, there you have it. That's what's going on. With our fun of the weekend, we'll do it again this Friday. Folks, also want to remind you, our Husker lunches begin on Wednesday at Cunningham's Journal. We will be on hand with Sean Callahan of Husker Online, back from Fresno, getting ready for Miami of Florida. And we invite you in the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12, and then the Husker Lunch from 12 to 1. Sean will talk about the game and answer all your questions, no matter what they might be, from recruiting to how the team has played so far, to positions, to Miami, to the season overall. He'll have the answers for you, and we invite you to join us for lunch at Cunningham's on Wednesday. Well, we welcome in the president of the Nebraska Hall of Fame, High School Hall of Fame for sports, as their induction ceremonies are coming up the first Sunday in October, Dick Beechner. And Dick, I think if I read your resume, it would take a while. And
come on, Doug.
But when I talk, well, that's because of all the great things that you've done. And I don't know that everybody knows, especially the younger set, that you were a longtime collegiate assistant coach. We just take it for granted. We just take, you know, Huskers, Missouri, you've been all over the place. And I think you watch some of the games with a different look. But my first question before we get into the Hall of Fame here, I think no one in the current Husker program has any idea how much this game Saturday means to the longtime fan base of Nebraska, and it's not going to have all the pomp and circumstance that it could have had both teams been a little bit better. But just your thoughts. We've been waiting 30 years for Miami to come up to Lincoln.
Certainly a lot of good football games. You know, last night I was looking at some of my old stuff that I'm going to throw away, and Carl Selmer coached at Miami and brought two teams to Nebraska back-to-back. And if they'd had a little more depth, I think that Miami would have beaten Nebraska, and that's been always a problem for a team like Miami. But when they were really good, they had plenty of depth during Dennis Erickson's time. You know, it seems like every week's a different week for Nebraska. I don't know what Bo will say today. You guys said that Fresno State was not any good. They probably aren't very good. Florida Atlantic, we didn't think they were any good, but look what they did to Tulsa. They put up 50 points on Tulsa this past week, and I think Tulsa only scored 23, I think.
Yeah, they blew them out.
But, you know, football right now, I think it's probably harder to predict because what Jim and I talked about before we went on the air, everything is stereotyped. Everybody's playing a spread formation. They're all playing a 3-4 or 4-3. It's basketball, flag football, whatever you want to call it. And it's pretty tough to cover people. And so the scores are higher versus the time that we played at Washington State. We had an outstanding quarterback by the name of throwing Samoan, Jack Thompson. We threw the ball quite a bit, but we didn't have a spread offense. It was more like a pro set. And he didn't have as many receivers to cover. So I don't really have an answer except – there's major upsets. I mean, I guess this guy on our left is pretty smart, thinking Boston College is going to beat.
He does a good job.
Southern Cal.
He just said they'd cover.
Okay.
That's all they'd really do. I was surprised that they won the game, but yeah, I really was surprised, and I was more surprised how they outplayed them. I mean, not only did they win the game, they deserved to win.
It wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
It may have been that weekend, but they have a good football team.
And what was rushing yards? 400 to 20? USC rushed for 20 yards in that football game at Boston College?
Unbelievable. And the other thing that you guys talked about was Virginia Tech. And, you know, they beat Ohio State the previous week. Everybody thought they were a shoe-in to have a good year. Well, that wasn't a fluke either. East Carolina guys look pretty darn good.
I felt bad because I watched most of that game because it was the early game on Saturday. I felt bad because, you know, whatever your team is, everybody's been on that end. You come off a high win,
well,
and all of a sudden.
I know you guys, I listen to you a lot, but parity seems to be pretty predominant. I mean, the people that have 65 scholarships are playing the heck out of people that have 85. And so I think parity has something to do with it. And if you're not ready to play mentally, and Jim and you both know this, you're probably going to get beat. And no matter how much conversation a coach is telling his team, guys, this is a good team, they don't seem to believe us, you know? They really don't.
Well, we're going to talk about it tomorrow, Dick, and I know you'll probably watch it on Saturday, but if you want to see somebody different, the word is this Missouri Southern team that's coming in to play UNK, they run an Air Force type of style of offense, so a little bit different look that the Lopers have to get ready for Saturday.
Well, you got to go to assignment football again, and if you haven't done it all year, it's pretty hard. But anyway, I was just looking up here at your monitor, you know. How many times did you get switched by your dad by either a belt or a switch off a tree?
My famous story, Dick, is
our son got switched a few times. I'd have been in jail today.
Well, I tell this story to my friends all the time. I don't know if I've said it on the air, and I might have told Jimmy the other day, but I distinctly remember in the kitchen at our house, the old furnace banisters, you know, they're about 6 inches up off the floor there, that was the style that we had in our house. And there was a board that was a thin board. I'm not talking a 2x4, but something that definitely left a sting. And one of the worst days of my life is when that busted over my backside and I laughed.
You got another one after you laughed.
Because then when Dad came home, there was a new board. So
anyway, we're here to talk about Halls of Fame. But let's talk about UNK Hall of Fame just a minute before we get, because that's more chronological. It's this weekend. Yep. And I think Jim probably called a game with Kenya Crandall in it, I think, on occasion. Kenya Crandall's coming into the Hall of Fame, well, very well deserved. And he's an assistant coach now at Montana State. He was at Oregon. But he's certainly deserving. And Beth Swift, a fine basketball player at UNK and also a tennis player, coached at Marion for a couple of years. She's going in. Cindy Cohen, softball pitcher. Mm-hmm. You got to have a good pitcher either in baseball or softball, and she was certainly good. Who have I missed? I guess I missed, Mike Smith.
Yep.
Shouldn't miss Mike Smith. Probably one of the best return people that UNK has had in the history of football. Also a great wide receiver and Kucera wrestler. So it's an outstanding group. The dinner is Friday night at the Student Union. It's a little different this year. It's separated out between the distinguished alumni and athletics. The alumni are having theirs at noon on Friday. The athletics is Friday night at the Student Union. If they want to get tickets, they can call 865-8474 or I'm sure they can buy them at the door. But a real good group going in the UNK Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's this Saturday, and of course the football game, and we'll be talking with a couple of those. We did when the list came out, got to talk with Beth among those, and we'll be talking more about that later on in the week as they get ready to
go
in.
There's one other that you're interested in too, and that's the Nebraska Golf Hall of Fame coming up September 29th. And Mark Calcavecchia, probably other than Johnny Goodman's a best known professional golfer, other than maybe Tom Siekman, won once on the tour. Mm-hmm. But Calcavecchia from Laurel, Nebraska, stayed there till he's 12 or 13 and went to Florida. Didn't finish at the University of Florida, but played there. He'll be going in. So that event is September 29th at the Country Club of Lincoln. If people are interested, they can go to NebraskaGolfHallOfFame.com. Pick up a registration form. Golf's $100. It includes the dinner. If you want just the dinner, it's $50. So the Hall of Fame, we didn't have one last year. Mike Klein's also going in from Scotts Bluff, as well as Will McGillen's husband from Kimball, who's been instrumental in contributing to golf, as well as another person you talk to on a weekly basis. Stu Popplesill's written great things about golf for over 25 years in Nebraska. So we've got a good group there too.
Well, good for that crew. Let's get in, and we're talking with Dick Buechner. He's the president of the Hall of Fame. He's actually going to be part of the Hall of Fame class this year. And we talked this spring when the inductions came out. There's a lot of really great stories every single year, and
let's talk coaches first. Yeah, okay. I think this is probably as good a slate as maybe we've had, for not that the other people have not been deserving, but you take John Peterson, had an outstanding career at Columbus SCOTUS for a long period of time. He retired this past year. He's going in as a coach, and of course Roger Matheson here from Kearney, who his record along with his assistants is really unbelievable. It's when you think about it, I mean, it is unbelievable. John Larson had another great career at Lincoln Southeast, both in girls basketball, and I think Jim probably worked some of his games, and they were every year Lincoln Southeast was in the state tournament. I don't see how in the world he coached girls basketball and football back-to-back. He coached football for 2 years, and I think he won one state championship in football. But anymore, for a person to work back-to-back sports is really pretty tough. And then Kelly Flynn up at South Sioux forever, as far as girls basketball is concerned. He had an outstanding. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
Oh, tremendous. You know, all four of those. I mean, South Sioux City girls basketball, just dominated state championship game. Seemed like they played Pius a lot in that Class B final a lot. Yeah. But, you know, you're Southeast, too. But then, you know, go to Kearney High in the track, what they've done, that's just phenomenal. The thing of it is, we just see it every year. I mean, living in the same town, so, you know, after a while, yeah, I've seen that again. What is it, 17 or 18, or how many is that? You know, well, you're just amazed, though, with that.
Our expectations are high, and that's one of the reasons I think those teams are continually good, because their expectations are high, and that a lot of times I think they play above their ability or run above their ability, whatever you want to call it. But those people are certainly worthy. And then as far as eight-man football, Larry Riesland played up at Pleasanton. Had a record in eight-man football for a long time for a number of scores in a game. Those of us that know nicknamed Stubby, he was a heck of a basketball player, too. I think he averaged over 21 points a game, and that was before the three-pointer, guys. Yeah. He might not have been able to get the ball over the guy guarding him, but he could have driven on him a little bit. And then up at Dodge, Ike Meyer, is that correct, I believe?
Yep, Corey.
He was another eight-man player. So we haven't had that many eight-man players, but the people from East Butler certainly did themselves proud. I've got a senior moment. Come on, who are they up there? Makovicas.
Yep.
Pretty good football players, and their dad was an outstanding football player here at Kearney State UNK. But anyway, that's a good group. That's October 5th, and the doors open at 12, and the ceremony starts at 1:30. Tickets are $25. It's a dessert luncheon through high school. It's $10. Pre-school is free. We usually have about 700 people. This is the 21st one. I might also tell you guys that we're in our phase 3 of construction. Phase 1 was of the hallway where we took care of everybody that's been honored in the Hall of Fame. While we talk about some honored people, Columbus football team is going to be honored. Cozad wrestling team is going to be honored. St. Cecilia's volleyball team is going to be honored. And which one did I mean? Elkhorn football team. So those are gold and silver anniversary teams. Those need to be nominated. And while we're talking about nominations, if people know of a team or an individual should be nominated, they don't have to wait 15 years. They ought to do it while it's fresh in their mind, because they're going to be held until those people are eligible. But at any rate, it's been an outstanding event. We get into phase two of the Wally McNaught Theater. We're very proud of the video that NET has done, the all-school kiosk, taking care of schools that were school or and no longer school. At one time in my lifetime, we had we had more school districts in the state of Nebraska than any other state. I think we're down below 300 now. And so phase three, we're going to divide up the area into 13 designated areas, honoring the 21 sports the NSA designates. And hopefully we're going to try and have a timeline, which in essence is the history of the NSAA. We wouldn't be here with a Hall of Fame. The coaches wouldn't be coaching, the ADs wouldn't be administering if it were not for all the sports. So the coaches are important, the ADs are important, and more importantly, the athletes. I think the athletes make good coaches, guys.
We've got Dick Beecher with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at about 11:30. You can go to the Hall of Fame website as well, folks, to see everything that Dick's been talking about, to get your nomination forms. It's nebhalloffame.org, nebhalloffame.org, and you can see some of the cool things that they're getting done there right now. And again, you can pull down the form for a nomination and find out a little bit more about everything that's going on.
We're open Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 10 until 4. Mike Rasmussen, a former assistant AD, is our newest member of our staff. Unfortunately, Larry Munsgaard has resigned as our executive director, and we hope to hire a new one by the 5th of October. Larry did a great job in bringing sportsmanship for life along. We had over 7,500 attendees last year at Waverly, UNL, and UNK. So we hope to do that again. And we're involved in the cheer and dance, and we're also involved in the jamboree. And we do appreciate all the athletic administrators helping out with that jamboree and all the basketball teams. That's their first game prior to the regular season.
Yeah, you know, that jamboree is something I really would have liked as a coach, too, because it's something basically, in other states, is what's happened is they got to play a scrimmage game against another team, right. And Nebraska never let that happen. But I think the Hall of Fame came in with a plan that said, "Hey, we can generate a little money. You could help us out, and we could help out some of these teams. Let's see if these schools want to do this, because you don't have to play in it.
No.
You do not have to play in it. But there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can bring in three teams. They can play just a half against right. each other, or they can play. You know, like in Kearney Catholic, the Kearney Catholic girls, and I think the Minden girls last year, if I'm not mistaken, I think I hope I got my ears right. They played each other, and they both of them went undefeated.
Right.
You know, so they played that game. Probably one of the best games you'll ever see played in a jamboree was that game. Yeah.
At the first, the coaches didn't want to do it, but then they found out that there was really some value in it, and it does help the Hall of Fame out immensely to help us with our finances.
Dick, we're about out of time. There are so many. You've talked about just about everything here, and we've got the golden anniversary teams. There's also the great moments in high school sports, the Gustafson Inspiration Award, and this year the Fisher Family Award goes to a family that we all know.
Right. We probably ought to say it's the Bill Kropp family, not the Tom Kropp family, but Tom Kropp and his daughter are certainly instrumental in that. And the two that played at UNK last year, and John was a good football player at UNK, plus Tom's niece was an outstanding volleyball player at the university and still involved in the sand volleyball out in California. And then Tom's brother-in-law was the athletic director at Aurora for a long period of time, and he was an outstanding basketball player in Illinois and came out here as a GA and stayed in Nebraska.
Yeah, that was Stan Greenfield.
Stan Greenfield, an outstanding basketball player. In fact, he may have been an All-American. I'm trying to recall. I think it was Rockford College in Illinois.
That's what it was, yeah.
So the whole family, they've kind of been a magnet for good athletes as it's come along. And so it's a well-deserved family. And once again, people that are listening, that they know of a family that have been instrumental in sports in Nebraska, go ahead and nominate them because we're looking for those nominations.
Well, the Encyclopedia of Sports, Jimmy, I think even Dick tops you a little bit here.
Oh, he definitely does.
I don't think so, guys.
I don't know this, but did you know Dick, I think, was the head coach, Hiram Scott, right? Head football coach, very first football coach at Hiram Scott, or were you just...
The one and only. We went bankrupt in 72. We took too many bets that you might have given us, Langdon. But we had a lot of fun, and a good friend of mine, Bill Giles, and I, the first day of practice out in Scott's Bluff, we dressed 128 guys, and our only water fountain was underneath a cottonwood tree, and that water fountain was a quarter of a mile from the field, so you didn't get much water, Jim.
Oh.
But we did have a lot of fun, and I will say that we were 26-14-1 in our 5 years there, and our last game was in Las Vegas, Nevada. We played the last game in the rodeo grounds in at UNLV. We got beat, but we did play UNLV. So we had a lot of fun.
Well, there it is, folks. You can always enjoy chatting with Dick Buechner today and talking about the Nebraska High School Hall of Fame. The ceremonies, 21st Annual Induction Ceremonies, Sunday, October 5th, the Lead Center in Lincoln, and doors open at noon. And you can find out more at nebhalloffame.org. Dick, always a pleasure, and thanks for the time.
Guys, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. It enlightens my day.
Dick must have some boring days.
Don't believe everything we say. I think you don't. I think you know, and we're kind of
all I know is you guys have a great producer because you walk in 15 seconds before you go on the air, and he's got everything mapped out for you.
Jeff takes care of us, doesn't he? Hey, before we go to break, a reminder, if you're heading to lunch, the Kearney Chicken Coop is there for you. A lot of places say they are sports bars and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And Monday doesn't have to be a boring day. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill from 11 to 4 has a lunch special for you. It's a steak sandwich with your choice of side for $7.49. You're not going to find a better deal anywhere. And from 2 to 5:30 on the weekdays, appetizer specials, $2.25. Long necks and draws, $2.25. Don't forget Monday Night Football tonight, the Colts and the Eagles. Whether you're watching the Major League Baseball pennant race, college football, the NFL, or just want to have some family time with food for everyone, the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the best of both worlds, downtown Kearney.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Skies turn partly to mostly sunny across the area today as we climb our way in the mid-60s for highs. Winds out of the north will also stay around 10 to 15. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head down to 45. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 55.
Aruba, Jamaica. Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're moments away from Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on ESPN Radio. We'll take you to Lincoln and find out more about what's going on with the Huskers after that long trip out to Fresno, getting back very early yesterday morning, and now turning around and getting ready for Miami in what will be, some people will call it a trap game, because you're getting ready for conference play. It's not even a trap game. It's just the way the short week turns around. And Jimmy, the Big Ten took it on the chin again this week. I couldn't believe it. I actually haven't even went and looked. But one of the, I think maybe it was even Sean, somebody said it this morning, Nebraska's one of two, we're 3 weeks in, Nebraska's one of two undefeated teams in the Big Ten. How is that possible? How can there only be two of 14 teams undefeated in the Big Ten Conference?
Well, you know, TCU beat Minnesota really bad, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, I was wrong about that one.
Yeah, but I was disappointed that they handled them so well. You know, that shows, and we've talked about it before, that the Big Ten will be the team, the conference, that won't be having somebody in there unless they're undefeated. They have to be undefeated. Yeah. A one-loss Big Ten team is not going to be playing in the national championship final.
If Michigan State runs the table, I still think they get in.
I think that's possible. They lost to Oregon. I'll take that back. That's a good point.
Well, they're sitting in 11th right now. Yeah, you just have to figure that everybody, I mean, if they run the table, four teams above them are not going to run the table.
Oregon could get into the Final Four too, you know. And then if Oregon gets in, it Michigan State will get in. Both could get in, but I think Oregon, because of the head-to-head win, if it gets down to just two teams, you know.
But seven of the top 15 teams are out of the SEC, so obviously they're going to keep knocking each other off, you know, from week to week. That's the deal. Of these teams, one of these teams in the top 15 is going to, like, lose four conference games, because that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. A Southeastern Conference team, though, that would lose twice will be better than a Big Ten team that loses once.
Still liking my Arizona State after what's going on with the Pac-12.
Have no problem with those guys.
We'll see what happens. That probably put the KOD on them, kiss of death, this week. Hey, folks, if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile long T&L pivot. What if you get a longer pivot, Jimmy? How much can you save?
I'm just guessing how much.
Well, say if you went a quarter mile at $6,500, a half mile.
Do you know what it is?
$13,000.
$13,000.
What do you think?
I'm going to say.
Would you need a half mile pivot?
Nope, but $9,500.
Get your decades of reliability with a T&L pivot system by visiting your local T&L dealer today. Or if you didn't get a chance to get out to Husker Harvest Days with all the weather the way it was, visit the website and they would be happy to chat with you. TLIRR.com, worldwide headquarters in Hastings. They always show their customers what they want. If you're in the area, hey, say, you know what, I want to drop by, I'm going to call, I say, I want to see what's going on here at the plant, they're going to take care of you. It is hydrostatic work at T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Before we get to Bo here, we'll take as much time as we can to run through a few things. Hastings College football team, they've got the offense rolling. Tony Harper said the defense is a little bit behind the offense, but 48-43 over Concordia. We talked about it Tuesday with him, Jimmy. I don't care what all you want to say, Matt Overmiller has his best game as a quarterback. In fact, this is one of the best games that that Hastings has had a quarterback for maybe quite some time under Coach Harper, and they win the game. Concordia's picked fourth, Hastings seventh, and Coach said last week, well, yeah, they're ahead of us because I put them both in the middle of the pack, because once you take those rated teams, those nationally ranked teams, and then the bottom feeders, those are the games you need to win, are the ones in between. And that's a big win for Hastings as they get ready for Doan on Saturday.
Yeah, huge win, huge win. You know, in high school football, I don't know if you guys saw this, Jeff, but Bruning Davenport Chickley played Giltner. Now, the final score was 82-36. Do you guys know what the halftime score was?
Well, it was 36-30 at one point.
It was 36-36 halftime. Mm. They went into the locker room, tied 36-36. The game ends up 82-36. That was the game that when I looked at the high school scores, holy cow, did that surprise me.
Well, Giltner did that to Kennesaw here recently when Kennesaw got banged up. It was a 5-point game at half, and then they win by 30 or some points. And we're getting to see where are we going to get some more good area games, 11-man games coming up. And one of them this week will be Kearney Catholic Cozad, and we'll have it here on ESPN Radio. Defending state champ Cozad probably doesn't have as many kids back as Kearney Catholic, but they're both 3-0. They've both looked fairly decent so far this season. And last year, that was the best game. It was the closest game Cozad had. They had to get two touchdowns in the final 6 minutes just to force overtime and win the game. I know the Stars are a little sick about that, but after that game, that's when Cozad just, that fourth quarter on, nobody touched him the rest of the year.
That's exactly right. Yeah, this is the headline game to me. When I look it up, the headline game, it's Kearney Catholic and Cozad as the premier game in the area this week. No doubt about it.
Note in from our friends at Elm Creek. Their junior varsity game today with Alma is canceled. So just to let the folks know about that. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Asked you over the weekend. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Sounds like Bo is ready to go here. Bo Pelini approaching the podium, and we will take it to Lincoln for Nebraska head coach Bo Pelini's weekly press conference.
I'm trying to get caught up on my sleep. That'll happen later on in the week. But we had a short workout with the players yesterday, then a film session. Stayed with the day off today. Looking forward to this week of preparation, getting ready to play a good football team, talented football team, and should be a fun weekend. You know, we're having I know there's a reunion for to honor the 94 national championship team who actually went down to Miami and won the national championship, you know, playing Miami in Miami. So that should be a good thing for us and for the program, and be fun to honor that football team and those guys that accomplished something great. So I'll open up for any questions.
How much easier will it be to get your team kind of back on track even after a big win, considering you're playing Miami as opposed to
Big
State?
We don't approach it any different no matter who we play. We need to we need to have a great week of preparation to get ready for this football team. And it's like I said before, whether you're playing McNeese or Miami or anybody, it's about how you approach it during the week and what your mindset is and your focus is going into the game. I mean, playing a team with the tradition that Miami has and the type of talent they have on their football team, I'm sure it'll get our guys' attention.
Health-wise, I think Zach Sturm, Kevin Williams, Riley Birch, you have updates on those guys?
Birch is back. Kevin Williams is fine. Who else did you mention?
Riley and Stirrup.
Stirrup's okay. He was just a little sore. His knee got a little stiff. And Riley's day-to-day. I mean, we're hoping he's back to practice tomorrow.
Hey, Bo. What do you remember from your younger years about that Miami-Nebraska series, you know, where they won all those national championships either way?
To be honest with you, not much. I was in the NFL at that time, it was a long time ago for me as far as where my focus was at that time. But, there's a lot of tradition there. I mean, just the amount of times that Nebraska went down to play in the Orange Bowl, it becomes real obvious to me in recruiting. Is when you're out recruiting down in that area, how familiar, especially some of the older coaches and the people, the parents are with Nebraska because of the amount of times they were down there playing in that Orange Bowl and playing in that series. So, there are some I've seen highlights and things, and there are some great football games in the series.
what are the biggest challenges Miami presents offensively?
I'm sorry, I do remember the game I remember probably the most for me as a kid is the game that where we went for two. You know, there's a Youngstown guy who I know very well. I mean, I grew up with his family, you know, knew his family well when Bernie Kosar was playing quarterback at Miami at that time. So, you know, I remember that game vividly.
Would you have gone for two?
What's that?
Would you have gone for two?
Yeah, I would have.
So you followed Miami a little bit when Kosar went down there? I
mean, yeah. I mean, just because we knew the family. I mean, I knew his family, and I just remember that was a great football game. It was two great football teams. I mean, that might have been the. I mean, Nebraska lost that game, but I remember they dominated the second half and just kind of ran out of time there at the end. But that might be one of the best football teams that I ever remember as a kid. That Nebraska team.
Offensively with Miami, how do they stress you as a defense? What kind of sticks out to you early evaluation?
Well, they're talented. They have a good running back, a couple good running backs. They're fast on the edge. They got some receivers who can really get down the field on you and stretch you deep. And they're physical up front. They got some pretty good talent.
I think the Fresno State did just the passing game. How much do you think that your secondary learned different ways that they stressed you and different things they threw at you guys before?
You know, it was a different type of passing game that you're going to see that we saw from. I mean, there are some similarities in some of the things that Miami does and that everybody does that we saw from Fresno, but they were in four wides looks. Basically from start to finish, and it was good. It was good for our guys to get. I thought we executed pretty well in the passing game defensively. We did some pretty good things and covered some guys up. Made some mistakes. Got some things on film that our kids will learn from, and as we always do coming out of a game. But I thought it was good to be able to get especially some of those younger kids. A lot of snaps.
You mentioned you had a shorter workout yesterday. What was the day like? When did you guys actually get back? And are you worried at all about, did it shorten the week at all?
No, I wanted to see how the game went, what time we were going to get back before we set our schedule, and talk to the captains about it, talk to some of the older guys, and met with the coaches, and I liked what we came up with. I think that our kids, we stressed the right things about what they need to do over the next, not only last night, but today, in order to get back on their feet. And it isn't the first time a team, that I've been around a team that's got back late. It's part of the deal when you go play on the West Coast. And as long as we're, our kids are getting their rest and hydrating and doing what they have to do to recover from it, we'll be fine.
The quarterback has a goal through three games. I mean, what do you think of this game beginning progress?
Our quarterback? I think he's doing some good things. I think he's getting better. I do. I think he's made strides. He's not perfect. I mean, no, but no one is at this at this point. And he's done a lot of good things. And he has some things he's going to want to take. He wants to take back, I'm sure, after every game. That you make your mistakes, you learn from it, you move on. But I'm seeing good progress. I'm seeing a good command. I think he's running the ball well, with authority. I think he's throwing it well. And for the most part, knock on wood, he's making good decisions. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's got to be. He's got to keep working at it during the week, keep working at the film study, and keep progressing. I mean, that's what it comes down to. He's still a young player that has a lot to learn.
Does it ever surprise you how just his arm strength?
No, I mean, I think he has good arm strength. He can make all the throws. he has to continue to keep getting more consistent with his footwork. To me, that's a big part of throwing the football. His arm strength is there. A big part of throwing the football is your technique, your footwork, your shoulders. You're taking the correct steps, you know, whether it be a three-step drop, a five-step drop, all the different things that, you know, that happen, both under center and in the gun. And that's a big part of it. And not going, you know, being able to transfer the things that they're working on during the week to the game field, making sure with all the things happening around him that he's able to still stay with his technique. That's a big part of playing quarterback.
Well, he's a physical runner, and he seems to thrive off his physicality and running the ball. Would you like to see him continue that, or do you want to see him maybe take a slide here?
No, I think I wish he wouldn't try to hurdle guys. That makes me nervous when I see him coming down on his right shoulder. I'm not going to say 100% because I can't control everything, but I don't think you're going to be seeing that again anytime soon. But you know, he runs hard. I think he's smart of when to take a, you know, when to and when not to. And that's part of growing. But he's a competitor now. And, you know, he's a competitive guy and has some physicality to him. But there's a time too, and a time there's a time when he needs to go ahead and take a slide.
Would you say that explosive plays on offense kind of define what you guys are doing on that side of the ball?
No, I think what defines what we're doing on that side of the football is how a particular team is playing you and what their structure is defensively. And you know, you play against the type of defense we did the other night, and, you know, it's dictated. Certain things are dictated to you as to how you're going to play. I mean, it was unusual. They had a very unusual game plan, and especially as the game went on, you know, I wanted to run the football some to keep the clock going because the game was going and I felt like the game was in hand. But the way they were playing didn't really lend to the running game, so to speak. But you know, like I said, it was a very unusual game in some ways, and you know, and it, but I, at the same time, I didn't want to just keep throwing the football. I didn't want to, you know, it was a strange situation, but to a certain extent, you got to do what you know. Sometimes you want to take what you want, but it's sometimes you know if a team is playing you a certain way. And there are big plays to be had. You're going to take them, and you know. So, I believe that at the end of the day, you know, a lot of it is to how a particular football team is going to play, as to whether those big plays are there, how you're going to approach it, and what your game plan is going to be.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference from Lincoln here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I thought there were some very good things in the special teams area over the last 2 weeks, but believe me, a lot of things that after watching the film that we need to get cleaned up. And I think we've seen DeMornay is a guy who can do some things with the ball in his hand. I thought we blocked well for him. I thought we had a good plan and we executed it. And Fultz has been very consistent. We did some good things on the kickoff team, but we also had some errors that if we don't get fixed, they're going to hurt us down the road. And we had a couple errors on the kickoff return team that you know, with some couple missed assignments and missed technique things that where I thought, like one in particular, the one we got out pretty far, we could have put that in the end zone if we had executed it the right way. We dropped a couple blocks, so. But overall, I'm seeing some good things in that area.
With the punt return unit, is that, have you tweaked things schematically, or is just guys, in terms of not just personnel, but just collectively as a group, that is blocking it better and doing what they're being asked to do a little bit better than a year ago?
A little bit of both. I mean, but I think that, like I've said this before, I was probably being a little too conservative in that area a year ago, and you know, and we made a conscious effort to you know, do some different things, mix some things up, give some different looks, and put a lot of time into it.
Those 10 to 15 yards you get out of those plays, what do they mean over the course of a football game?
It's big. It's helped us in our field position, most definitely. And you get you're not always going to be, especially in this day and age of the shield punt, and really at times really having, you know, six gunners on the field at one time. You know, sometimes you're not going to get an opportunity or as good an opportunity. But when it presents itself, when the punt presents itself, the time, the hang time, that type of thing, that you want to be able to take advantage of it. That's what we've been able to do. There have been some that, hey, you know, good by them. They get a good punt, they get the good hang time, but at least we're fielding the ball. We're not taking minus yardage in that situation. And you know, that's the key. But, you know, when the situation has presented itself, you know, with the kicks dictated, we've been able to make some yards out of it, which that's what you try to do.
It does seem, I mean, you were talking about kind of last year, just the first 15 yards was big for you guys, just to get bodies on, run with guys a little bit better. Have you noticed a difference there, just in terms of engaging guys and being better at the start of the play?
Yeah, I think we've changed up some things philosophically. Like I said, we studied it pretty hard in the off season, and I think our guys have a pretty good understanding of it, and we're executing it pretty well.
How do you feel like your offensive defensive line control the line structure
works? Well, we've faced some things defensively. I thought we controlled the line of scrimmage very well the other night. I mean, you know, we played. I was worried about some, you know, certain things going into the game because of what we were going to do coverage wise, and our guys up front, our five, we played a lot of 5-man box. I mean, really, we didn't have to insert a lot of people into the running game the other night because our guys up front dominated the line of scrimmage on defense the other night, and especially our ends played well, but our inside guys played very well. On offense, like I said, we faced a couple unusual defenses, things where, especially the other night, where, I mean, the amount of people they had in the box at times and the slants and the things that we might not ever see again, it's kind of hard to evaluate in some respects because it was they ended up in some looks, and some of them by mistake that like one of those ones where you sit there and say, I don't know what I would tell that guy if we ever saw that again, because I've never seen some of it in all my years of football. So, you know, it's that part of it's hard to evaluate. I think this week will be a good test. Very good in the first game. Like I said, in the second game, we had one guy after another taking their turn, and we didn't play well. But there were some big plays that we had. It was more technique and assignment in the second game. And it wasn't just one particular guy. We were getting movement in some areas. Like I said, there were some big plays to be had, but when you're turning guys scot-free for whatever reason, you know, it gets clouded. It makes it look like the whole group, you know, didn't play well. But, you know, collectively we didn't play very well in that second game.
Miami's talent, I mean, can you see that on film, that especially on their defensive side, the front seven, the caliber of players they have, the kind of test they're going to provide your offensive line?
Yeah, I think they have good size up front. They have a couple of very athletic linebackers, and I think it'll be a good test for our guys.
What do you think of their running back, Johnson?
Good player. Runs hard. I mean, that's about all I see. I mean, I think he's a really good football player.
How big is he, though, on
what they do with a successful offense?
Well, I mean, I think their game starts with their philosophy starts with the running game. I mean, they want to be physical and they want to pound you some and kind of set up their passing game with the running game, like get some play action and some things down the field and make you have to honor that running game. And like any good football team, you better control the line of scrimmage and control their running game, because then that gives you a lot better opportunity to dictate to them rather than let them dictate to you.
The first three teams that you played didn't try to stretch the field too much. That seems to be Miami's plan, though. They want to get vertical with the set and even their tight end. Just over the years, how well do you feel like your defense is set up to handle teams that like to stretch the field?
Well, we've been pretty good in the 6 years I've been here as far in pass defense and being able to take care of the deep ball and make people have to go the long route. I mean, to me, once again, that starts with controlling the running game. It becomes a little bit of a chess match when you want to and when you don't want to, and how you're going to set it up and be able to handle the running game, but still be able to make sure that you don't put your guys on an island too much.
What have you seen out of their quarterback? I know he's a true freshman, doesn't have that much tape, but what have you seen out of him that maybe allowed him to start there as a true freshman?
Well, I think he seems very poised. Looks like he's very in control of the offense. The offense doesn't look much different than it did a year ago. And I know they had a veteran quarterback a year ago, but what they're doing, it's not like they've had to adapt their offense and change things and scale back. I mean, the same things you saw that they were doing a year ago, they're doing this year. So, I mean, obviously he's done a good job of learning the offense and executing.
Is he mobile?
I mean, he's maybe not as mobile as you, he can run. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not really a quarterback run offense. It's more of a pro style type offense. But I think he's athletic enough. I mean, he'll he's not going to be afraid. They get him outside on some sprints, some boots and things like that, where he looks athletic. But I would say that their philosophy is to have him, throw first. He's not a guy who's looking to get out on the edge and pull the ball down and run a bunch of zone read and that type of thing.
Hey, recruiting, what kind of weekend will this be for you guys in terms of importance, number of visitors you guys are bringing?
I've been pretty locked into the film room, and I do know we have a pretty good contingent of recruits coming in this weekend and the following weekend. So, an atmosphere, a night game helps you. As far as that's concerned, being able to get guys, in on Saturday, especially when they're playing Friday night. And most of the time, this time of year, there aren't a lot of bye weeks in high school football this time of year. So in that regards, that the night game helps you be able to get guys in. And I think they're going to see a great crowd. I think it'll be important for us. We've had good success, recruiting, as far as getting numbers in this time of year, both our commitments, we have some commits that are coming, and we also have some guys that we're hoping to land, the more numbers you get, the better. I think there's some give and take, of what the best route is. There's some kids that are adamant they want to come to a game. Sometimes it's hard to get things closed, to close something, because a lot of times guys that aren't committed this time of year, it might be one of their first official visits because of the time, so it's going to go a while. So, we're always weighing the pluses and minuses of is it better to bring them on a game, which I think is important as far as Nebraska to sell this place, because I think they see the game atmosphere, they see the people, they see the tradition. But there's also the minus part of it is a number of those kids who aren't committed at this point, and it might be their first official visit, and you can't bring them back again. Is it too early to bring them in? So there's, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, but at the end of the day, if you have a kid from, especially a kid from distance who wants to come, you're not going to turn him down. And you hope that whatever impressions are made, if he's not going to be a kid who's ready to make his decision yet, it's going to be a long-lasting one because he's going to see a lot of things between now and when the signing day comes.
Well, sometimes in fall camp, a coach, a certain non-conference opponent, maybe practice ahead a little bit with a couple practice periods or maybe a day on somebody. Did you do any of that for Miami this fall?
No, we didn't. Some of the things, we've spent some time on Miami in the off season, like we do all our early, most of our early opponents, and there were some similarities. So there, as far as what we were going to see, but we didn't get in and sit. And we even when we do, there are certain things that are specific, that are going to lean us towards Miami. But we don't really ever say, hey, this is a Miami period. We don't go about that, but there's a lot of carryover and a lot of things we practice during fall camp.
Well, you've kind of touched on this already, but with Tommy, his numbers have been really good so far. Miami's not giving up much per play. I mean, given what you guys have seen so far from opponents, what's the increase in degree of difficulty that Tommy's going to get this week with Miami?
He prepares well. They're good defense, a talented defense. I don't know about what the percentage is or the increase of difficulty, but they're a good opponent. I mean, it's going to be a good challenge for him. But he it's not like this is Tommy's first rodeo either. I mean, he's started 8 football games a year ago, so he's basically played. When you add the 3 games he started this year, he's basically played a season now. So. That obviously his experience helps him. And I think he's getting more comfortable as he goes. I really do.
Do you remember playing against Al Golden at all? I know you guys were around at the same time at Penn State and Ohio State.
When I played?
Yeah.
Well, I never played Penn State. I'm an old guy. I wasn't Penn State wasn't in the Big Ten yet.
Anything else for Coach?
Thanks, guys.
There you have it, Bo Pelini's weekly press conference, talking a lot of Miami, getting to the opponent a lot quicker this year or this week than most of the time. We're going to come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, give you our thoughts, and if you've got a thought or two on what you heard from the coach, love to hear from you. The Dan Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can tweet us at ESPN1460, 1550. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, 2 stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the 3 new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fix wireless internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Dan and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend which National League baseball team not currently in the playoffs has the best chance to get in. And half of you went for Atlanta, 42% went Milwaukee, and apparently there's a Miami Marlin fan out there as well. We're going to ask you today, here's a good one for you, Jimmy. Which athlete was or currently is the most covered? You know, you kind of got, wow, all you could hear is this guy. Brett Favre, Tim Tebow, LeBron James, Johnny Manziel. We've also got other up there. Which one of those? I mean, this whole week you could easily say the guys for their different reasons, but which one of those is overcovered?
Overcovered?
Most overcovered. Which athlete was most overcovered?
Well, not LeBron James, because what he did was he needed to have coverage, and it was all about winning and losing and trading teams and things that you're supposed to talk about, you know, in athletes. But like you said, there's some guys that are overcovered a little bit. Maybe Brett Favre in that situation, you know, about whether he was going to play or not play, or, you know, that was kind of a...
And he was like one of the first guys they stalked.
Yeah,
now exactly. They stalk everybody.
Right. But yeah, good point.
I kind of agree with you, too, because Tim Tebow, he was really overcovered, but that was a media deal. That wasn't Tim Tebow looking for – I mean, he wasn't doing anything. He was just going day-to-day being him. Favre, not so much, but I can see Tebow being voted for as well. I agree with the Brett Favre. Folks, vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. I better take that back. What do we got to – what do you think of what Coach Pelini had to say today? He's using that crutch of not over praising anybody. We did some good things, but still got a lot of room for improvement. We looked at the tape. We can still see some things that need to get better at. Well, that's total coach speak. There were some very good things. There's never been a perfect player, I don't think, so you can always say that. But what did you take out of what the coach had to say today?
I guess the number one thing, as a coach, what I liked was about Tommy Armstrong when he said, hey, I don't think he'll be hurdling anybody anymore. I thought that was a good point. I think he throws a good deep ball, and I think he's got good presence. I think he's confident. I wish he didn't throw when he throws about a 5-yard pass, he really puts too much zip on it. We got to throw it through, maybe not as hard. That's the only thing I got on. But I do think he's a good enough player that you don't want him to get hurt, and you can't take chances all the time. You know, you take chances when it's the last 5 minutes of a game and it's 3rd-and-7 and you try to get that first down, you know, instead of trying to do it in a 44-7 game and trying to get a first down the same way. I mean, it's just something that it's got to be taught, and he's something he has to learn, that this was a good time not to take that chance.
Coach Pelini also praising both his offensive and defensive lines. Again, you look at how good Fresno State was, but you also look at how they played, kind of the thumping, the backlash they took for below average game against McNeese State. I don't know how you compare McNeese and Fresno, the actual competition that they got on the line, but obviously it looked like Nebraska was more lackadaisical. And they, as I said Friday, I just expected this team to come out and do what they know they can do, play like they were supposed to play. And if Fresno isn't very good, then that's going to show on the field, and that's exactly what showed. So he likes the line play. Says Miami does a lot of stuff from their running game, so that's interesting. Got a freshman quarterback, and then you've got this that just came out during the press conference. Miami, we've talked about all the injuries that these guys have had, and then they've got this true freshman. Well, the backup quarterback, Kevin Olsen, arrested on charges of driving under the influence and possession of a fake or stolen driver's license. He was booked at 4:11 this morning, held on $6,000 bail. Wasn't clear if he had an attorney. Athletic Director Blake James says Olsen was suspended indefinitely from the team pending further review. He's a redshirt freshman, was suspended for two games earlier this season for violating team rules. He is currently fourth on the depth chart at quarterback. His brother is Greg Olsen, who plays for the Carolina Panthers. Just that side note as well. So Miami continues, and that's twice with the same kid here, but they continue to have some problems off the field.
Yeah, what did you take out of the Bose press conference? What did you have anything that you...
Well, the line play, or he's talking about the line play in their running game, and just trying to be basic here. This is even a quicker turnaround when the press was in the room at 1:32 in the morning our time on Sunday morning, and then you've got another press conference, you know, 36 hours later. There's not a whole lot of developments that are going to take place there, but just how they're handling the quick turnaround, not a whole lot of difference. Another off day today, and then they jump into it tomorrow. I think, obviously, the coach is comfortable. I think, Jimmy, the coaches were upset. Everybody was upset last week at this time. They weren't disappointed about the talent they had or the things they knew they could do. They were disappointed by the way they played, by not stepping up and playing. They just played way better in games one and game three. Now you got to hope that they just, as the coaches want, keep getting better and play like you know you can play. This is a good football team if they play like you can play. Sometimes you can play your best and still be a 500 team or a 3-8 team. This is a team that plays as good as it can. You get 10 wins. You get 10 wins if this team plays as good, no doubt about it. More than that, then you have to excel a little bit.
You know, and I think the one thing is when you play somebody that tests you a little bit, you get a little bit better. You know, if you play teams that are really good, you get better. You find out what your weaknesses are and things like that. I'll give you an example of this. Florida Atlantic, they played Nebraska, and then they played Alabama. All right, then they get to play Tulsa. Things went a little easier, you know, when you played Tulsa on the deal. But I think the Florida Atlantic, I think is better than Fresno State. That's my own personal opinion. The team we played week one, I was more impressed with things we did week one than actually week three. We had to punt five times to Fresno State. That was a really disappointing thing. If you'd have said, hey, how many times do you think Nebraska will have to punt? I would have never guessed five times. I thought we would win the game about like we did. We had some big plays, but I was disappointed in a running game to establish it and just go, hey, you know what, let's go get 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards every time we carry the football. Boy, Fresno was stopping us to 1 yard gains, a no gain. I mean, I was really, that was a disappointment, something alarming to me when you start playing the really good teams.
Well, it appears that teams are going to continue to jam the box and make Armstrong throw the football, and that's what we've seen the last two games. We'll see what Miami is able to get done on Saturday. We'll have a couple of other sports notes and wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show here in a moment. We will get all that going your way, and Andy from Midway, he watched the football game this weekend and likes what he saw. Andy from Midway joins us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth as they've been busy getting through the month of September. Got a lot of things going on. And how you been, man?
Oh, good. It's been a while since I've been out here. I walked in and he said I didn't recognize you. So, no, I'm glad to be able to get a little bit of time out of the office and get out here and kind of do some stuff that I thoroughly enjoy, being around sports and talking about cars. So well, that's kind of what I excel at.
Let's do it. One of the things, I know you guys have some openings right now. You're looking to hire. You've got a website for career opportunities out there.
We actually do. It's a website totally, you know, designed and designated just for people who think they would like to change their career, or, you know, people don't even have to change their career. I know we're in a great community with a great university. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people coming up here graduating come December. And if you actually just go to www.midwaycareers.com, it takes you to a full website. It has all the listings that we have for available positions. And the one thing that I really want to stress is you do not need a ton of experience to do what we do. The nice part is we kind of have that old philosophy that we'll train you, and we'll train you the way that we want it to be done. And the reason we like doing that is because, you know, bad habits can come with wherever you're coming from. So if you've got experience, great. If you don't, we'd love to go ahead and take you when you're fresh and green and turn and mold you into, you know, what we are looking for with a service-driven, you know, first approach and making sure the customer's 100% completely satisfied, whether it's in sales or service or parts or if you're a technician. But, no, a lot of opportunities are coming down the pipe here at Midway Auto Dealerships, and we're looking for great people.
And you've got Ram Truck Month going on right now. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, Chrysler store has been pumping, and that's pretty much – I'm going to blame the Chrysler and Chevy store on the reason I really wasn't down here last month. August is always – we kind of call it the cap to the end of the 4 months of madness. That May, June, July, August is usually the four busiest months in a row for us. You know, December, March are phenomenal. November's a great month, October too, but it's very rare that you have the four solid months, and we were just capping it off. But yeah, Ram Truck Month in full effect right now. Let me say this out loud: 2014 Rams, they're flying off the lot. This isn't like years in the past, and I think I've said this for the past couple years. It used to be November, December, come in, get your last great deal. Folks, they're not going to be around come November, December. We're already ordering the 15 models. The 15 models are being built. The last of the 14s are hitting the lot right now. I know about 4 months ago we had about 70 new Rams in stock and in transit. Right now we're at about 35.
Wow.
Now there's more coming, but if you're looking for that right truck, if you're looking to save big dough, get on down to Ram Truck Month. We're trying to clear out the 14s.
Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. You can also swing by and see what's going on at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And the Think Midway Facebook page, a lot of things going on there. I know with all the summer we had the fair. I mean, we spelled this out, and you guys have done a great job helping out the community. And now that high school and college season is rolling, the storm rolling, we're going to see your fresh faces back at some of those places.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of opportunities to win some great giveaways going on there. So make sure you do. Get to the Facebook. Get to Think Midway. If you like us, we'll love you back.
Oh, it's always good to be loved. ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, touchdown, touchdown. The home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland. The IMT Group and you, a team that can't be beat.
United.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Doug and Addy Show, wrapping things up on a Bo Pelini press conference Monday. Well, Johnny Carney has his Husker comment. Jimmy, he says, the offensive line played well, but why is Cotton always the one getting penalized? Being aggressive is good, but what does this say about his character? Being the coach's kid would be tough spot, but man, clean up the dumb penalties. By the way, John says, Doug, it's official, my Raiders suck again. Yes, they do. And I'm not surprised. And John, Dallas won, baby. They're 1-1. Dallas won. But getting back to the poor Cotton kid.
Well, that I always thought was kind of funny on the offensive line. On the offensive line, the starting offensive line. You know what the last name of the center is, guys?
Pelini.
The last that you got a Cotton on there. I would imagine. Could you imagine? I mean, you know, the family ties just to be the offensive line. So you know. That's a little different than most college football teams.
We have a smartass here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I hope it's nobody we know.
More than usual. Played on Saturday. Next game is the next Saturday. What's this quick turnaround you keep talking about?
Quick turnaround. That is kind of funny.
Well, let's see. The boys were, if they wanted to be, they were at home a week ago Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock at their home. And this time, they were at their home Sunday at 6:30 in the morning. So that's a full day and a half difference right there. So that's what we're talking about.
I understand. Yep.
Always appreciate it. Always appreciate it. All you have to do to get in touch with us is tweet us, Facebook us, or give us a call on the Carney Chicken Coop fan line. It's all there for you. I want to remind you that Nebraska volleyball, pretty easy weekend as we expected. They've got Creighton coming in on Wednesday, and Texas, one of the top three teams in the nation, will come in Saturday afternoon. That's at 2. So if you want to get a big Saturday with big names, Texas volleyball at Nebraska, Miami football at Nebraska. UNK volleyball now 8-0 after four more wins over the weekend. They will open conference play tomorrow night with Fort Hays State. Hastings College is open tomorrow. Had a good high school tournament at Kearney Catholic this weekend. Two defending state champions, two number ones, Kearney Catholic beating St. Cecilia in the finals of that matchup. Tri-City Storm went 2-1 in their games and matches over the weekend. And the UNK men golf team hosting their fall invitational. Got some good weather, it looks like, for the next couple of days going on at Awori Dunes. And the Nebraska Danger have re-signed six players. Head coach Mike Davis says that Jameel Sewell, quarterback, will be back. Jamar Love, Marcus Barnett, Justin Edison, D'Angelo McCray, and Claude Roten. The signing of Austin Dotson and Emmanuel Moody also coming on. Moody is part of the 2009 Florida Gators National Championship team. So more talent as they get ready for 2015. Also, UNK's Katie Weber, the MIAA Hitter of the Week. That just coming down here today. Anything else, Jimmy?
Doug, I just say this. You know, you're talking about the national champions in the football and who's going to be a long shot to win it. If it starts with M-I-S-S, go ahead and play them. That'd be Missouri, Mississippi State, and Mississippi. All have chances. Just remember that, M-I-S-S. Of course, it also stands for miss, yeah. So you got to be careful.
None of them worth. Tomorrow we'll talk with Daryl Morris and Tony Harper. We've got a lot going on this week with the Hall of Fame, homecoming, so much more coming up. The Team Jack benefit is coming up on Thursday. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show as well. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.